Proof, the novel by Dick Francis, dramatized by Ernest Dudley in 8 parts, with Nigel Havers as Tony Beach. Part 1.
That Sunday morning, I drove over to Jack Haythorne's stables with my van loaded. Wine, including champers, whiskey, beer, you name it, and glasses. Every first Sunday in October, for the past 4 years, since I'd started my wine shop, Jack and his wife Flora gave this party. His way of thanking his owners, especially the owners, jockeys and friends, for helping him yet again to figure on the flat season's winning list. I parked on top of the rise above the house. There was the marquee taking up all of the lawn below. I tried to dodge 2 early arrivals, Colonel Fulham and his wife, but they'd seen me.
Hello, Tony!
Morning, Colonel. Mrs. Fulham.
Hello, Tony.
And how's Emma? How's your pretty wife?
She's dead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, Tony.
I had no idea.
None at all.
When?
Well, 6 months ago.
I'm really very
sorry.
So
very sorry.
Oh, darling, there's Ronnie and Gwen. Hello, Ronnie.
So very sorry. Hello there.
I suppose agony is socially unacceptable. You're not supposed to weep. Especially, you're not supposed to weep when you're moderately presentable and 32. When your wife's been dead 6 months and everyone else has done grieving. Time's a great healer, they say. He'll marry again one day, they say. But, oh, dear God, the devastating, weary, ultimate loneliness. The silence where there used to be laughter. The cold hearth that used to leap with fire for my return. The permanent blank in my bed. At least, they hadn't asked how. And I hadn't had to tell them. Hadn't had to think of the pain, and the coma, and the child who died with her, unborn. I went on down towards the house where Jack Haythorne was waiting.
Tony, I meant to tell you.
Morning, Jack. The marquee looks very festive. All that bunting.
Flora loves all that bit.
Well, you've picked a good day for it.
We need rain. Ground's like concrete.
You trainers are just like farmers, never satisfied with the weather.
Did you bring any soft drinks? Meant to tell you, Sheikh Ali's coming with his teetotal entourage.
Champagne, soft drinks, no problem.
Good, right, I'll leave you to it. Guests will start arriving midday-ish. The Sheikh will be here earlier. He's so scared of being bumped off, he likes to tuck himself away out of sight.
I leave everything to me.
You're staying yourself, of course.
Well, your secretary sent me an invitation, so...
Good old Jimmy. I wanted to make sure the buggers park up the hill, or they'll upset the horses.
Old Jack is ever fussing, as if all the world's problems are on his shoulders. When really, it's Jimmy who looks after everything. From entering the horses for the races, to sending out the bills. Just as it's Jack's wife, Flora, who copes with the party. All the same, I suppose it's that staccato charge of his which he communicates to the horses, which sets them winning. I was lugging stuff into the marquee and unpacking cases, when Jimmy sauntered along, hands in pockets. He didn't offer to help.
Seen Flora, Tony?
No, only just arrived. Good morning, Jimmy.
Morning. What are those tubs for?
They're for the ice.
Well, what's in those sinister-looking black bags?
That's the ice that goes into the tub.
Yeah. What's this bottle of muck? I've never heard of it.
Well, it's the real thing. It comes from Epernay.
That's what it says on the label. Well,
Flora chose it.
Oh. Bring any scotch?
There's a case open over there.
Oh, yes. Glass?
Over there, help yourself.
Ice?
There.
Is it drinkable?
Pure tap water.
You know, someone knocked off a whole load of this stuff in Scotland yesterday. You know that?
Well, it happened.
How much do you know about whiskey?
Well, some.
Would you know one from another?
Well, I'm better at wine. Why?
Would you know for certain if you asked for a malt and got sold an ordinary standard like this?
Well, they taste quite different.
Could you tell one malt from another?
What's all this about?
Well, could you?
No, not this morning. Not to name them. I have to practice. Maybe then, maybe not.
It's very awkward.
What is?
I wish you'd stop fiddling with those bottles and listen to me.
Tell me then.
One of Jack's owners has a restaurant.
Who? Sheikh Ali, whatever his name
no,
is.
No. Larry Trent.
Larry Trent, who's he?
He has his restaurant near Reading, the Silver Moon Dance. Not aimed at the top class, but, you know...
Tell me.
Dinner dances, a singer sometimes, sort of down market. Anyway, he invited Jack and Flora and myself there last week. The food was all right, but the drinks...
So, what was wrong with the drinks?
Look, Larry Trent has 5 horses here.
So?
As many as the Sheik. He pays his bills on the nose. I don't want to upset him.
Well, why should you?
What it said on the label of the bottle we had wasn't what came out of it.
Well, that's not exactly unusual.
What? But it's illegal.
Sure, it's illegal. Are you certain?
Yes. Well, I think so. But I wondered if, perhaps before I said anything to him, you could have a taste.
You mean before you spoke to Larry Trent?
I mean, supposing his staff are ripping him off. I mean, he could be prosecuted, couldn't he?
Well, why didn't you mention it at the time?
We were his guests. It would have been terribly bad form.
Then why don't you tell him privately? He might be glad to know. He'd certainly have been warned. Anyhow, I can't see him taking his horses away just because of a little...
I mentioned it to Jack. He said I must be mistaken. But I'm not. Do keep still and talk to me. Hopping around.
Why does it bother you so much?
A fraud's a fraud. It annoys one. It wasn't only the wine. I mean the label. It was the Lafroy.
Ah, the Isla malt, eh?
That's right. Heavy malt whiskey. My grandfather used to give me a sip of it when I was small. It's funny how you never forget a taste you learn as a child.
And you had some at this Silver Moonbeam, or no?
Silver Moon Dance. Ah. So there it was on the trolley they rolled round, and I thought I'd have some.
And it wasn't Lafroy?
No.
Well, what was it?
I thought that you, actually, might know, if you drank some, I mean.
Well, you need a proper expert.
I thought it was just ordinary whiskey. Not even malt whiskey.
Well, you'd better tell Larry Trent. Let him deal with it himself.
He'll be here this morning.
Well, then, it'll be easy for you.
I don't suppose... That is, I don't suppose you could have a word with him.
No, I certainly couldn't. From you, it could be a friendly warning. From me, it would be a deadly insult.
But you, being a wine dealer...
Sorry, Jimmy, but definitely no.
Well... Thought you wouldn't. Worth a try. Think I'll pour myself another scotch.
I'm surprised at you, Jimmy, putting ice in your scotch.
Why?
Well, true whiskey buffs think it's an abomination.
Really?
Tony, dear, there you are.
Flora.
Oh, lots of lovely drink. Oh, lovely.
What a pretty party dress.
Oh, do you like it? You don't think it makes me look too scarlet?
No. Oh. I'd say it's a lovely ripe cherry.
Oh, do you think it looks all right, Tony, dear?
Yes, very nice.
4 cases of champers on ice.
More in the van if you need it.
Oh, let's hope not. But, my dear, I wouldn't bet on it. Jimmy, love, you don't need to drink whiskey. Open some champagne. I'd like a quick glass before everyone swamps us.
Flora's been a special friend. She knows what the past 6 months have been like. She knows about the emptiness of a house, the loneliness, the silence. There'd been something about her first marriage, before Jack. It had had a sticky end.
Oh, lovely. Mustn't spill a drop. Now, you too, Tony.
Oh, thanks.
Here's to quite a party.
Oh, they'll be crowding in here until the tent's fit to bursting.
In their Rolls and Range Rovers, Minis and Fords, the Sheik in that elongated black windowed Mercedes of his. Someone motorbikes or push bikes. Why the shivers, Flora? Someone walked over your grave.
It's just... The Sheik gives me the creeps a bit. I can't help it. He's fat and horrible and behaves as if he owns the place. I can't stand the way he looks at me with those half-shut eyes as if I were of no account.
But his horses win races.
And Jack trains them. All the same, some of the owners make me sick.
Who especially, dear?
Never you mind, dear.
The Sheik? It wouldn't be Larry Trent.
Look, they'll be starting to arrive. I'd better go and see they park on the rise and keep away from the yard.
They'll be bringing their children and their dogs.
They must leave the dogs in their cars.
She's brought crowd control to a fine art. Ooh, I don't think champagne goes too well with whiskey. Here they come, in their cashmere and cords, checked shirts and tweeds. In elegance and pearls, the Sheik in full Arab robes. And Larry Trent will be in his inevitable navy pinstripe.
Everybody knows everyone else in the racing world, and friends still regarded me as part of it, though some took a poor view of my going into the wine business. Not his father's son lacks the family guts. You see, my father, a soldier, had won both the DSO and the Military Gold Cup, dashing as valiantly into steeplechase fences as he had into enemy territory. A tall, laughing, reckless man. His bravery had been awe-inspiring. I was 11 when I saw him break his neck at Sandown Park. I learned to ride, without distinction, went to Wellington, but not Sandhurst, and developed powerful feelings of inferiority. It was only with Emma that I had seemed to be anybody. And now she'd gone.
Jimmy? Jimmy?
Flora, what's the trouble?
It's the Sheik. His car's here, and Jack is still changing. It is too bad of him. Run and meet him. Take him round the yard, anything.
Okay.
Oh, really, it is too bad of Jack.
Now, don't worry, Flora.
It's not all sweetness and light being a trainer's wife.
Especially one who's rather gentle and kind.
And Tony, I haven't said any of those things I said about the Sheik, you understand?
Yes.
I must be going. God knows what's happened to Jack. I do hope the tent will stand up to the crush.
You say that every year, and every year it's the same tent.
Oh, my God, I can use a glass of bubbly now.
What is it? Sticky going with the Sheik?
Oh, he's not such a bad fella. He knows about horses. Loves them. But absolutely paranoid about being assassinated.
Ah.
I left him hugging the side of the tent so his back will be safe, clutching his glass of orange juice. Not bad champ, is this?
I think it's a bit thin, fizzy, but it's Flora's choice.
Well, that's a bit of a coincidence. A chap talking to Flora, I mean, after what I was telling you.
Where?
In the Navy Pinstripe.
Ah, who is he?
That's Larry Trent.
Of the absent Lefroy?
That's right.
Did you mention your suspicions to Flora?
Oh, no, only to Jack.
And he didn't think much of them, eh?
I wonder what he's chatting her up about.
You'll need some more champagne, Tony.
Righto, Jack.
And the waitress says your van is locked.
Well, it's safer. You never know who's about. I'll fetch some more bubbly.
Party's going well, wouldn't you say?
Yes.
Great. I'll leave it to you, then.
I unlocked the back of my van. The rise was choked with cars. There was the Sheik's long Merc with its black windows and a horse box. As I started to get out the champagne, I noticed this child playing with a dog, running between the cars. And then, from the corner of my eye, I saw the horse box start moving. It went rolling down the slope, heading for the marquee. Oh, my God. I ran towards the tent. Oh, Christ. It's going faster. I raced down screaming a warning which nobody heard above the din, and which was far too late anyway. For a split second, I saw the throng of people smiling, drinking, unaware. Then...
Jack Haythorne Stables. Yes, ambulances. Yeah, Haythorne's Racing Stables. Quick as you can, for God's sake. And lifting gear. You'll need lifting gear to shift the horse box. Come quickly, please.
The police. Have you phoned the police?
Yes, they're on their way.
Good man.
They got onto the hospital and doctors. All the help we need is on its way. Flora, Mrs. Haythorne and her husband, are they all right?
Let's find out.
Right. They were in the part of the tent which collapsed.
Yes, I'm afraid so.
And Jack's secretary, Jimmy, they'll be under that lot.
We'll need to lift up the canvas where we can.
We'll make a sort of tunnel to get to them.
Yes, that's right.
My God, there's blood everywhere.
Everyone's bleeding from broken glasses.
But everyone, keep back or you'll cut yourself to pieces. Look, can you give me a hand with this flap?
Right.
Look, I'll grab the other flap. Uh-huh. We'll start a tunnel. It's the only way we can reach them. There we are.
So be a bit of a wait. That chap over there's cutting the canvas away.
Well, it's a good idea, only I haven't got a knife. You all right?
I'm fine.
Oh, my God. It's heavy stuff. Lift, is it? Lift.
All right. I'm shifting it.
There we go. There's Flora. That's her red dress.
So it is.
Oh, she's alive anyway.
Thank God.
Look, you take her shoulders.
Yeah.
I'll get the canvas off her.
She seemed unharmed. Half conscious, but no blood. No bones broken. We got her into the house, propped her in a chair, and someone got her some water. Then we went back to the tent.
What the hell is that?
It's one of the Sheik's bodyguards.
I wish he didn't have to wave his gun around. All we need now is a spray of terrified bullets. Oh, my God.
It's the Sheik. Better not look.
Well, What do we do?
Nothing we can do. Leave him for the police. It's what happens when you get hit by 5 tons of metal.
And he was standing against the side of the tent, so his back would be safe. God.
Someone should do something about that horse.
It's the smell of blood. See, they're always upset by the smell of blood.
It'll kick its way out.
Well, police will be here in a minute. They'll take care of it.
The tunnel idea gradually extended until there was a ring of humans instead of tent poles holding up a fair section of the marquee. My companion and I began a new tunnel round the other side of the horse box. It was there we came to Jack Haythorne and Jimmy, both unconscious, pinned to the ground by the tent pole, which lay across Jack's legs and Jimmy's chest.
Jack's coming round.
What do we do?
Well, lift the pole. It may cause Jack more pain, but it could be killing Jimmy.
There's blood coming from his mouth. Is he still alive?
Well, he's breathing all right. Yes, and his pulse is okay.
So is Jack's.
Sounds like reinforcements have arrived.
Thank God.
The police and ambulance people were quickly on the job. Jack was carried off on a stretcher, fully conscious by now, objecting that he couldn't leave his guests, couldn't leave his horses, and couldn't leave his wife to cope on her own. Still objecting, he was lifted into the ambulance beside the unconscious Jimmy and driven slowly away. I went into the house to see how Flora was. She was shivering, and I put my coat round her shoulders. There was a lot of blood in it, but she held it close. She was too stunned for tears. I hugged her and did my best to reassure her.
Jack's all right. He's alive.
Oh, you're sure, Tony? You wouldn't...
He's all right, I promise. Now, the tent pole knocked him out. One leg may be broken.
What?
But he's all right, Flora. Jack's alive.
Oh, all those people. All our guests. Are you sure about Jack?
Yes. Yes, I'm sure.
And Jimmy?
He's a bit concussed. The pole hit him too, but he'll be all right.
Oh, poor Jimmy.
They're both in the same hospital.
Oh, I wish there was something I could do.
Well, everything's being done. Just you try not to worry, okay?
And the others? Oh, what about the others?
Well, they're being looked after.
Yes, but... Oh, Tony, how many are dead?
I don't know. Now, don't think about it, Flora.
Oh, the Sheikh. They say he is dead. That's why the police are here. They're not letting anyone leave.
Well, that's nonsense, really. I mean, no one could have known where the Sheikh would stand in that tent. I mean, no one could possibly have aimed that horse box deliberately. The brakes must have given way and it just rolled down the hill. As meaningless and as lethal as an earthquake.
Will everyone please wait until the police have taken your name and address before you leave? You are not to leave until you've given your name and address. Do not go home yet. Wait until the police have taken your name and address.
I wandered out to my van. Police were swarming all over the place.
A large crane on caterpillar tracks had been brought in down the slope and manoeuvred to the horse box, which was giving trouble. The poor, wretched horse was still keeping up his noise after it had been lifted free of the marquee and back on the ground. He was led off to the stables. I noticed the young chap and the girl who'd come in the horse box being questioned by a policeman. And then out of the corner of my eye, I saw the one who'd been on the loud hailer making a beeline for me.
Excuse me, sir.
Yes?
Could I have your name, sir?
Beach. It's on the van.
Thank you, sir. A. Beach, the wine bin.
I wasn't in the marquee. I was here by the van.
Oh. You weren't in the marquee?
I just told you. I was by my van.
Would you wait here, Mr. Beach?
Sir?
Yes, what is it? What is it, Sergeant Bridger?
This is Mr. Beach, sir. He was out here when it happened.
Ah. Mr. Beach?
Yes?
I'm Detective Chief Superintendent Wilson, Thames Valley CID.
How do you do?
You were here by your van when this happened?
Yes, I was.
And did you, by any chance, see the horse box on its way down the slope?
Well, I ran after it to try and...
Yeah, we'll come to that. What you did, Mr. Beach. Did you actually see the horse box?
Well, I must have done to have been able to run after it.
You left the party which was going on in the Marquis?
Yes.
You weren't enjoying it? Was that why you left?
Well, I wasn't there to enjoy it, exactly.
What were you there for, Mr. Beach? Exactly.
Well, I was supplying the drink.
Oh. You weren't a guest at the party?
Well, I was, and I wasn't.
I see. You seem a bit tired.
Well, I've been helping get some of the injured out.
Oh, thank you. It's most commendable of you, I'm sure. Which would, no doubt, account for the blood on your shirt.
Oh, I hadn't realized it. There was a lot of broken glass. People were cut pretty badly, and my jacket's even worse.
Where would it be, Mr. Beach? Your jacket? Now?
I wrapped it round Mrs. Haythorne. She wasn't badly injured, but she's in shock, and I...
You wanted to comfort her?
Well, yes, she and her husband are friends of mine, you see.
Oh, that would be Mr. Jack Haythorne who gave the party.
Yes, that's right.
And your friends? And at the same time, you keep a wine shop?
I've got the address, sir.
And you were supplying him with refreshments for the party? Yes, thank you, Sergeant. I had noted it on Mr. Beach's van.
Sir?
So you were here in a business capacity and as a guest?
Yes.
And it so happened you left at almost the precise moment when the incident occurred. For what reason did you leave?
Well, they'd run out of champagne.
And you were required to replenish the stock from your van, is that right?
Yes, that's right. And as I was taking out a case of champagne, I saw the horse box from the corner of my eye.
It was on your left,
yes,
right?
Yes, I saw the horse box on my left. And at that moment, it started to move down the slope, and I realized it was out of control and going straight for the Marquis. And it was gathering speed, you see, and I ran after it, shouting out, warning them in the tent, and what could I do? I couldn't do anything.
You actually saw the horse box start down the slope and run into the Marquis.
What could I do?
And there was no one in it?
Only the horse.
The horse?
Though I didn't think about that until afterwards. I can't believe it happened. It's just like some nightmare, and I still haven't woken up. As if there isn't enough agony in the world.
It moved of its own accord.
Well, yes. The engine wasn't switched on, or I'd have heard it.
And you didn't see anyone suspicious near?
No.
And you would have noticed anyone. I mean, you hadn't over-imbibed, so you mightn't have been as alert as ordinarily you would be.
I don't drink and drive, if that's what you mean.
Quite, quite. And you seem observant enough, Mr. Beach. Did you happen to notice where the Sheikh was standing at the time you left the Marquis?
Well, I couldn't be sure. It was so jam-packed.
But wouldn't one tend to notice the Sheikh in his robes?
Well, the last time I saw him alive, he had his back against the side of the tent. He was scared, apparently, of being assassinated.
Yeah, we know all about that.
And that was about where he was when we found him.
We? Mr. Beach? Was there someone else with you?
Well, the chap who was helping. We were the first to find the Sheikh. It was he who said, leave him for the police.
Oh, I see. And what's happened to this helpful gentleman?
Well, I haven't a clue. Come to think of it, he seemed to disappear when your lot... when the police arrived, you see.
And what was his name?
We were too busy to exchange names.
Could you describe him?
Well, he's nothing special. He was tallish, middle-aged. He had a bit of a Scottish accent.
A slight Scottish accent?
Yes, that's right.
Ah, you'd know him if you met again.
Oh, yes, yes. Though I don't see why we should meet up again. I mean, I'd never seen him before.
You've been most cooperative, Mr. Beach. Now, I wonder if I describe some articles of apparel to you. Could you say who they belong to?
Well, I... Yeah, if I knew them.
Sergeant, you have the list?
Yes, sir. One navy blue woolen skirt and jacket, with a light blue blouse, pearl necklace round neck, and pearl earrings.
Well, yes.
Greenish rough tweed trousers, olive-coloured sweater over yellow shirt, brown and yellow striped tie.
Well, that's Colonel and Mrs. Fulham. I was talking to them. I sell them wine.
Sold, Mr. Beach.
Oh, my God.
And, Sergeant?
A navy pinstripe suit with cream silk handkerchief in his breast pocket.
Well, that's a man called Larry Trent. Jack Haythorne trains his horses for him. He has a restaurant. It's Silver Moon Dance.
Had, Mr. Beach. He had a restaurant. Thank you.
In Proof by Dick Francis, Nigel Havers played Tony Beach, Jennifer Piercy, Flora, George Parsons, Gerard, Andrew Branch, Jimmy, Alan Dudley, Jack Haythorne, Manning Wilson, Chief Superintendent Wilson, Stephen Hattersley, Sergeant Ridger, and Tim Reynolds and Pauline Letts, Colonel and Mrs. Fulham. Proof is directed by Matthew Walters.